Man came home from work, found his three young children outside, still in their pajamas, covered from head to toe with mud, playing in a mud puddle that they had made in the front yard. The front door, or the passenger front door of Mama's car was open, and there was mud in there. The front door of the house was open, and he couldn't find the dog anywhere. He walked in the house and could not believe his eyes. Toys and clothes were everywhere, some clothes even hanging from the chandelier in the foyer. He walked into the kitchen, and it was a disaster. Breakfast cereal and bowls were everywhere, milk spilled on the floor, dishes in the sink, and it was a mess. Dog food was spilled all over the floor, and the refrigerator door was standing wide open. He, fearing the worst, he ran upstairs, and as he went by the hall bathroom, he saw water coming out from under the door. He opened that. It was covered with wet, soggy towels, more toys, toothpaste on the walls and on the mirror. Man, he knows something terrible's happened. Rushes to his bedroom, finds his wife lying in bed reading a book in her pajamas with a little box of chocolates beside her. He says, "Honey, what's wrong? What happened here?" She said, "Dear, do you remember how in most days you come home and ask me what in the world did I do today? Well, today I didn't do it." Today we honor our mothers. Of course, honoring our mothers should be an ongoing thing, not just one time each year. We want to honor those of you who are mothers. We want to honor those of you who are like mothers to so many of us. And of course, we want each of us to remember and reflect upon our own mothers. Those who are still with us, rejoice and honor them directly. Those that are not, honor them in memory and by the way we live. There are three things that I want to say about mothers this morning that emphasize this point, and that is that mothers never quit. They just never quit. And if you are frustrated sometimes with your mom because she just won't quit, get used to it. She's not going to quit. Moms don't quit. A mother never ceases being motherly. Did you know that? You know, godly means like God, and motherly means like mother. And mother is always going to act like mother. In Romans 16, verse 13, Paul says, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine." Now, the English Standard Version and the New International Version says, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too." And that's what he's saying. Rufus's mother has been a mother to me. The Apostle Paul is saying, this woman is like a mother to me. I don't know what all she may have done for him. She may have cooked for him. She may have prepared a place for him to sleep when he came through. She did other things, no doubt, that other moms would do. Did you ever have a childhood friend that came over and would stay at your house, sometimes spend the night, and your mom would just treat them like they were her own child? You know, or maybe you've gone to somebody else's house and had a friend, and you went and stayed at their house, and their mom treated you like you were one of the family, treated you just like you were one of her own children. Once a mother, always a mother. That's just the way it works. When a mother ceases to have children at home, she is still a mother and still does motherly things, even if it's being like a mother to other children. And so many of you ladies here, even though your children are grown and gone, you still treat so many of us like you're our mom. And we love you for it. We appreciate you for it. Did you ever have a second mother? That is, did you ever have a woman in your life that you considered to be like a mother to you? What a blessing that is. Some of you will remember John Edwards, former U.S. Senator of North Carolina, the shameful individual that he turned out to be. But I don't want to talk about him. I want to talk about his wonderful, beloved wife, Elizabeth. She was dying of cancer. And has passed on now, and she left behind not only her three children, but also a grieving former nanny who was with them for 5 years as a nanny. Her name was Heather North, and Heather said, I lived with them for a lot of years every single day. She said before Miss Edwards died, she is my second mother. She helped shape the person that I am. We love her dearly. She is an amazing woman. What a tribute to a lady who was not in a good situation. It's often the case that teachers are like second parents. Between junior high and high school, a typical student will have more than 25 different teachers between junior high and high school. And if you are one of those blessed ones to have one or two teachers who made a big difference in your life, and it's because these teachers see their students as more than just a classroom. They're like parents to these children. And they are the most beloved of all teachers, those who treat their children like they are their own, their classroom children. Sometimes we hear a complaint of grown children against their moms. She still treats me like I'm a kid. Well, no, she doesn't. No, she doesn't. She treats you like she's still your mother because she is. Mothers are going to do motherly things. They're going to give advice, whether you ask for it or not. They're going to make observations, whether you want them or not. And they're going to even make strongly suggested corrections, whether you like it or not. And you don't like it? Tough. Grow up and love your mother for still loving you, even though you are so often hard to love. Thank God for mothers that never stop loving, mothers that never stop giving, mothers that never stop caring and never stop mothering, even when their children are grown or when it's not even their own children that they are mothering. Thank God for mothers who will not quit. Mothers will teach their children obedience. Let me share you some things that mother taught me. My mother taught me religion. When I spilled grape juice on the carpet, she said, "You better pray that stain comes out of that carpet." My mother taught me logic. From her decisive words, "Because I said so, that's why." My mother taught me irony. "You keep laughing and I'll give you something to cry about." My mother taught me foresight. "Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident." My mother taught me stamina. "You will sit there until you eat every bite of that spinach." My mother taught me the weather. "It looks like a tornado went through your room." My mother taught me about behavior modification. "Stop acting like your father." Deuteronomy 6, verse 6 and 7. Also, chapter 11, verse 19 says the same thing. "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." A mother will teach her children obedience. If children are to obey their parents, that includes mama. You better obey mama. In fact, sometimes mothers are more the disciplinarians than the fathers are, especially when they are able to stay at home and spend more time with the children. They are the ones that are going to deal with these day-to-day crises. Now, I was raised by a had-to-work mama. She was a had-to-work mama for us to eat and have electricity in our house. Mother had to work. Now, my daddy made a good living, but he spent most of it on himself and his projects. And so it was left to my mom to work more than 40 hours a week to prepare the meals, wash the clothes, buy the groceries, and pay the bills. And she would almost have to force him to give her money to buy us school clothes and shoes. And yet my mother still found the energy to get up early on Sunday morning and get five boys ready for church, fix us some breakfast, and if possible, put on something for lunch. And we were often late to church, even missing Sunday school a lot of times, but she would get us to worship services. And even then, back on Sunday nights, almost every time. Typically, Wednesday nights were tough, but we made it most of the time. And Mother didn't cut us boys much slack either. We all knew we better behave or we would get it from either one of our parents. And Mother didn't wait for Daddy to come home either. She didn't say, y'all tell your father. No, Mother took care of it herself. And she didn't use a belt like Daddy did. No, sir. My mother had a tree that it was her favorite tree. Hardly had a branch left on it. She loved a little hickory switch, and I'm going to tell you, that woman could tickle some legs with a hickory switch. I've heard people say, my mama made me go cut my own switch. So did mine. And you better not come back with something wimpy, or she'd wear that one out and send you for another one. There was a mother who had a problem child, and she went to a therapist. And the man, the psychiatrist, said, he was a psychiatrist, and he said, you are too upset and too worried about your son. I want you to take these tranquilizers every day. On the next visit to the psychiatrist, he said, have the tranquilizers calmed you down? Yes, the boy's mother answered. Well, what about your son now? She said, who cares? Now, obviously, that's not the solution. I know that sometimes moms might feel like that, but that doesn't solve any problems. Let me tell you what Irma Bombeck said. She said, when my kids become wild and unruly, I use a nice, safe playpen. And when they're finished, I climb out. I know. A mother teaches her children to obey because she herself has learned the lesson of obedience. And I'm talking about obedience to her own parents and especially obedience to God. Listen to the wise man, Solomon. He says in Proverbs 10:1, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Proverbs 13:24, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. And finally, Proverbs 29:15, the rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Now, I know this sounds shocking and brutal to many modern parents, parents who have a modern philosophy of child raising. And just know that, folks, God knows your heart, and God knows the heart of your children. He knows them better than you do. And He knows what will work, and He knows what will not work. And of course, no one, not even God, is suggesting abusive behavior, damaging or injuring your children. He is not suggesting that at all. Common sense must prevail. There is an art to discipline, just like anything else. It has to be learned. Moderation, self-control, and compassion all have to be a part of the mix. But to abandon God's commandments in favor of modern philosophy, that is fool's logic. And that is the kind of logic that will raise juvenile delinquents and children incapable of functioning in the real world. And if you don't believe that, do a little research. Just do a little research and look at the two previous generations at the mess that they have become. And if that includes you, so sorry. Someone wrote to mothers who were opposed to corporal punishment. I want you to listen to this. Children are going to grow up, so they need to be taught to obey authority figures. They need to be taught this. They're going to have a hard time following the rules if you don't. They're going to have a hard time obeying their bosses and keeping their jobs if you don't. The laws of the land and the laws of the government are going to crush them if you don't teach them to respect authority. She goes on to say, and then they'll be saying, The world is against us. And they wonder why everyone in society wants them and demands that they obey the rules. And then you'll realize as a parent you failed to instill those rules and laws into life, into the children that you love or claim you love when they were little. You let them believe they were equal or better than anyone and everyone, including their bosses and the government and God. You let them believe they didn't have to obey anyone. My friend, if you do that, you have created a monster. If we don't teach our children to follow Christ, the world will teach them not to. Did you hear me? If we do not teach our children to follow Christ, the world will teach them not to. Thank God for mothers who cared enough, who loved enough, to discipline their children in order to make them behave and to teach them the rules of God, the rules of life, to respect God's authority and the authority of those who rule over them. Thank God for mothers that teach their children obedience and they don't quit. And this morning, finally, let me suggest, thank God for mothers that live a life of faith. Oh, mothers that live the Bible, that live God's Word, that live a Christ-like life. These mothers are precious indeed. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Timothy's faith came, at least in part, from the example and the teaching of his mother and his grandmother. Thank God for a mother's faith. Go back with me to our text for just a minute. I want to talk about Mary. Back in Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2, Mary watched as the shepherds worshipped her newborn son. Mary saw the wise men bow in worship and watched as they presented the gifts that they offered in tribute to her baby boy. Mary heard the blessing of Simeon and Anna at the temple, and then heard the chilling words that a sword would pierce through her own soul over her little baby boy. Time passed, and she watched him grow to become a preteen. And then came the incident at the temple. Lost from their son for 3 days, Mary and Joseph frantically searched for him and finally found Jesus in the temple. And when they confronted him about what he had done, they were respectfully told, "Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" And I love Luke 2, verse 51, where it says, after all of these things happened, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. Her faith was unquenchable. Her faith was an example to us all. Mary trusted God. And she had faith in God. And you know she prayed for Jesus. You know she did. Abraham Lincoln said, "I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life." Solomon said in Proverbs 1, verse 8 and 9, "My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck." And we're talking about these beautiful ornamental chains, not the chains of slaves, but these beautiful decorations. They'll be decorations around your neck, graceful ornaments on your head, the law of your mother, the instruction of your father. When Robert Ingersoll, the famous atheist and skeptic, was in his heyday, 2 college students went to hear him lecture. And as they walked down the street after the lecture, one of them said to the other one, "Well, I guess he knocked the props out from under Christianity, didn't he?" The other one said, no, I don't think he did. You see, Ingersoll did not explain my mother's life and my mother's faith. And until he can explain my mother's life, I will stand by my mother's God. Maggie Banning. Anybody know who she was? Maggie Banning. Oh, yeah, you do. You just don't know that you do. In the movie Hook, as her daddy was carrying her away from that terrible pirate, she yelled back and said, "You need a mother very, very badly." Yeah. We all need our mothers. Four ministers were walking down the street talking one day, and they were discussing the various translations of the Bible. One of them said he liked the King James Version best because of its beautiful, poetic, flowing, simple English. Another one said he liked the American Standard Version best because it was more literal and came nearer to the original Hebrew and Greek. The third was said he was more like he liked the modern New International Version because of its readability. And the fourth minister didn't say anything. And so they asked him, "Well, what's your favorite version of the Bible?" And he said, "I like my mother's version best." They said, "What do you mean? What do you mean?" He said, "Mother translated the Bible into everyday living, and it was the most convincing translation I ever saw." That's a good translation. She was just an old-fashioned mother. She did not pretend to be smart. To care for her home and her dear ones was the wish that was first in her heart. We were raised by the old-fashioned rules so sparsely employed today. And when we so richly deserved it, we were spanked in the old-fashioned way. She taught us the old-fashioned virtue. A good name is far better, she'd say, than all the wealth of the nation. And truth is best any day. She believed in the old-fashioned Bible. She trusted in old-fashioned prayer. She said that the Lord would hear us if we'd speak anytime, anywhere. Thank God for an old-fashioned mother, for the Bible and old-fashioned prayer, for the old-fashioned faith that is looking for our Lord to appear in the air. Someone wrote that mothers hold their children's hands for a short while, but their hearts they hold forever. God bless mothers. God bless all of you with His blessings and the blessings of your family and the blessings on your family. Brethren, a mother never quits. She never quits being motherly, caring for her children motherly. She never quits teaching her children obedience. And she never quits living a life of faith. Now, if you have or had that type of mother, count your blessings and praise God. And if you are a mother or someday expect to be a mother, make this your goal, to be a mother who never quits. Now, as I close, I want to tell you of someone else who never quits, and that's our Lord. He never gives up on us. God is compared to a nursing mother. He is compared to this. He makes that comparison Himself. As a nursing mother will not forget her child, so I will not forget you. And even if she does forget, I will not forget you. God loves us and He's working on us. He's blessing us. He's trying to help us get to heaven. He's done all that He can to help us. It's up to you to accept His gift. If you're not a Christian, you need to become a child of God. You need to let God be your heavenly Father. Let Him be your Father. Do you believe that His Son is Jesus Christ? Do you believe He is the Son of God? Will you repent, turn from sin to commit your life to His service? Will you confess the sweet name of Jesus before men? And then will you be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, letting the blood of Jesus wash your sins away? If you've not done that, you need to do that so you can be part of God's family and enjoy the fellowship not only of God in heaven, but of a family on earth that includes many, many mothers. If you're already one of His people, but you've given up on God, you've turned your back on Him, you've become rebellious or cold-hearted, walked away, you need to repent and come back to Him while you can. Whatever your need this morning, if there's a way we can help you, we invite and encourage you to come right now as we stand and sing.